There will be an historic inauguration next week in the largest city in western Massachusetts. When he is sworn in for a new term on January 6th, Dominic Sarno will become the longest-serving mayor in the city of Springfield's history. Sarno was first elected in 2007. When he starts his 12th year in office, he'll overtake Daniel Brunton, who was Springfield mayor from 1946 to 1957. Recently, Sarno sat down in his City Hall office for an interview with WAMC's Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief Paul Tuthill.
Did you ever think that you would be the mayor of Springfield for this long?
Well, I got to tell you, I love what I do and I live it 24/7. And Paul, as you know, people have asked me before, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Why don't you run for this or that? And I never say never. But I've always told you, too, if this is the last elective office I hold, I'll be perfectly happy. Again, I appreciate the confidence of the residents and the community's support to keep me going. But I am honored and privileged to be the mayor of the city of Springfield. And I'm proud for my parents, my mother, God rest her soul, and my father, who's dealing with some very difficult health challenges right now, because they came from another country, and Italian American immigrants, and worked hard to provide for us. So I'm proud for them. But to become the longest serving mayor in the city of Springfield's long history is something that means the world to me.
I know you've said that you live the job 24/7. Yeah. You love the job. Why do you love it so much?
Well, Paul, I'll be honest. As you know, I've said many a time, just some days I want to bang my head against the wall. There's other days I want to bang other people's heads against the wall. But I think it's where you can make, whether you're dealing with a $1 billion economic development project or you're getting phone calls about potholes or plowing. It's something where you can make an immediate impact, and that you have to make an immediate impact. You can't dwell on your victories for too long, because there's always a proverbial, in quotation marks, another fire to put out every 5 minutes. And it's a position where people can reach out, feeling touched. They get the, and I like that. I love the interaction. I love being out with the community. But there are those days where you know, you'll get that genuine thank you, whether a card or a letter or a phone call, or you run into somebody that you were able to help out a cause or an issue, somebody's parent, their grandchild, their son or daughter, a neighborhood issue. That's what keeps you going.
You mentioned your father and your late mother. You have a wife and two daughters.
Yeah.
How do they feel about all the time that you put into this job? I mean, I've seen you out. It's nights, it's weekends. You know, it's all over the city. You have to travel out of state from time to time.
I'm glad you asked that question. It has to be a partnership, and there has to be understanding, and it's important to have a stable family foundation, because you know, in this position here, I don't mind constructive criticism, but you know, there's a lot of slings and arrows that will come this way, any elected official, and it takes its toll. I have tough skin, but it takes its toll on one's family or close friends. I have a very supportive family. I used to kid around. My kids were, well, even now, my kids were younger. Now the one out of college and working, another one a second year of college. I would see my daughters first thing in the morning. I might not see them until the next morning, and family's number one to me, but I also consider the city of Springfield residents a family. But any elected official, I'll tell you, you have to have a supportive and understanding family, because if you don't, that will just compound on the stress that these positions entail. So I'm thankful to them.
12 years, what are you most proud of during the 12 years?
I think there's three big things. One, you can't do anything, those sexy projects, unless you're financial house, your fiscal house is in order. And I'm proud to say have the highest bond ratings in the city's history, a very strong reserve, and fiscally we are strong, and that's important. So that diligence is important. They're all maybe number ones, but I think the what really put myself or put my administration on the map, unfortunately, was that devastating EF3 tornado of June 1st, 2011. It really showed how to handle this tremendous natural disaster. Nick Russo, who was the first FEMA chief here, he said it publicly a number of times. He said, Dom, he's mayor, you won't see it now, but you'll see it down the road. They will use you and your city as an example on how to handle a natural disaster, because I've been to 80 natural disasters across the country, and I've seen natural disasters, quotations, become man-made disasters because of the utter mismanagement. Yourself and the team you put on the field really are a shining example. And he, you know, he was right. I didn't do it by myself, and I had a great team and partnerships. And we have been asked to speak at numerous type of situations across the area and across the country, so I'm proud of that. And I think the last thing would be, and it was just said the other day when I was speaking at an event, when I was introduced, people were down on the city of Springfield. And it's important, you know, the meat and potatoes, bricks and mortar, and cross the T's and dot the I's. But you have to have that morale boost. And I wear it with pride when people say I'm the biggest cheerleader for the city of Springfield. I will be out there championing all the good things going on, but I'll also be out there, if, you know, with the urban challenges we face and how we're going to tackle them. So I think those would be the three: financial stability. You got to remember that the city was on the brink of bankruptcy, and coming back bigger, better, and stronger after that devastating EF3 tornado, and also the morale boost on the psyche of Springfield and the surrounding areas. So people now, I've changed the moniker where it used to be, what do you expect at Springfield, to it's now, why not Springfield?
You mentioned the city was on the brink of yes. financial collapse at one point. And in fact, when you became mayor,
yeah.
the city was still under the direction of the state-appointed Finance Control Board. How did that affect your first few years in yeah. office? Did you learn a lot from the Control Board?
I had a familiarity with the Control Board because, again, I served on the initial onset of the Control Board with then mayor and my friend, Mayor Charlie Ryan. You know, I know we ran against each other, we were friends, but I had a different vision where we wanted to take, and we collaborate very frequently, especially on libraries. So I served as the first council president on the Control Board, and then, Paul, you're absolutely right, I closed it out as mayor. A lot of valuable lessons that were learned there. Some things that had to be done. Other things that I didn't agree with, but I would never air my dirty laundry out in public and dealt with those issues behind the scenes. But a lot of the things we made sure, everybody thought once the Control Board left in July 2009, that we were going to fall off the face of the earth. The exact opposite has happened. And I've stuck to those principles, and my principles, too. I am old school. You know, if I can legitimately help you with an issue or a cause, we'll do it. But if legally that cannot be done, or it's not the right decision, it's not the right good government decision for the residents and the business community of the city of Springfield, I'm not going to do it, plain and simple. Plus, I've surrounded myself. I have to be like a general practitioner. Need to know a little bit about everything, but I surrounded myself with very good and knowledgeable people who will tell me the pros and cons, and that's what I want. I don't mind a constructive criticism. And also, you know, that boot in the behind. You want to get it from people close to you, because if you get that boot in the behind from the outside, it's a little too late. So I always try to base all my judgments on good government. So the Control Board's been gone for well over a decade.
Yep.
Well over a decade now.
What about your relationship with the city council?
Yeah.
It's been noted that the council of late has become more aggressive, it seems, mm-hmm. in trying to set policy. And
yeah.
I'm thinking of things like the Welcoming Communities Act
yeah.
or the Sanctuary City yeah. legislation, as
yeah.
some people refer to it. The dispute that you've had with the council over the bringing back the Board of Police Commissioners. What's your relationship like with the council?
I was a former city councilor and former city council president, so I understand there's always a yin and a yang with the mayor, he or she, and the city council. I get that. My thing is that with not all, a majority, I have a very good relationship with. Decisions have to be made in the best interest of the city of Springfield, period, not for personal type reasons. And some of the things that go on with the council, there in the charter, it's Charter A, strong former mayoral government on the executive side. The city council, again, land use issues, they also have a legislative type act, and some budgetary financial when the budget comes in effect. I know when I was a city councilor, besides some of my core issues, meat and potato issues of constituent services were very important to me. It seems with some of them, they want to make mayoral decisions. Now, the only way you're going to make mayoral decisions is if you run for mayor and become mayor. I'm not going to relinquish any type of statutory authority, because the buck always stops with me. And I've told them sometimes, too, I said, how would you like it if I decided I wanted to take over land use issues over there? What's some of their oh, you can't do that. That's not in the charter. And that's my executive aspect and my give back to them. I also, there's been many things we worked very, very well on. But I think sometimes you do have individuals, and I try to base what's good for the city, the residents and business community. But you'll have some individuals they might say that you see this piece of paper here, which is white, but because I said it's white, some of them say it's green.
So it's personal or it's political?
It's both. It's
really?
Both. But I understand the yin and yang. And I think people see that. You could see reflected in my, this is going into my fifth term now, nearly 80% of the electorate supported me. But I understand the yin and the yang, and I respect core belief issues, but it does become a little aggravating at times when it's cut and dry, and we could be celebrating together the achievements. And I'm not saying all, but the yin and the yang, I understand. But some of the issues that arise that we should be working together. But I go back to some that want to make executive mayoral decisions. That is not in their purview. That is in the mayor's purview. And I go back to when I say, how would you like if I wanted to take over your land use issues? They quote the charter right off the bat. Same thing here. And again, maybe I'm old school. I concentrated on more of the meat and potatoes issues and what the jurisdiction the council had. You have some that I think it's the United States Senate. They want to deal with issues that there is no control over whatsoever. I rather deal with direct issues that deal with the residents and business community. But overall, I have very good relationships, even with the ones that might be antagonistic at times. If it makes sense for the city, the residents, business community, I can work with anyone.
MGM, the MGM
yeah.
Casino, a project that you championed, was the largest single phase economic development project in the history of Western Massachusetts.
Yes.
They haven't set the world on fire with their gaming revenue
yeah.
since they opened in August of 2018. Their job numbers aren't up to the 3,000 job
yeah.
level that they promised. Has it lived up to your expectations? Has it been a success?
I feel it's been a success. Again, a lot of these figures that came out were 7 years ahead of time. It took about 7 years to get this done. They continue to ramp up with the jobs. I mean, all companies you can see making adjustments on it, their fit. As far as the revenues, again, that was attributed about 7 years ago. Here's a big thing, Paul. My money, the city of Springfield money is guaranteed, no matter what.
About $24 million a year.
That's right, almost $25 million, $17.8 million in tax revenue, about $8 million in community host agreement. They'll tell you to a fact, we were very tough negotiators. So we put the money in there as guaranteed. I think they're readjusting a little bit, and I think that they're seeing what continues to fit in this New England area. I also think the spinoff effects have been very, very good, especially when they bring big shows here, whether it's at the Mass Mutual Center or at the next door here at Symphony Hall. The other outside businesses do thrive and do very, very well because the spinoff effects occur. But there's also been spinoff effects with vendors, supplies, materials, and also economic development that has spun off too. You look at that one nearly $1 billion of investment is only one-fourth of the $4.7 billion in economic development that my administration has put forth, whether in businesses or in our neighborhoods.
We didn't have a campaign for mayor this year. I mean, I know you can't
campaign every day.
Yeah, you can't choose who runs against you or who doesn't run against you. There is going to be a campaign or there isn't. Yeah. But you mentioned that when you ran against Mayor Ryan, yeah. you had a different vision for the city.
Yeah.
What's your vision for Springfield going forward now as you were preparing to be inaugurated for another term?
Yeah, and just to go back to the past campaign, I never take anything for granted. In Italian, we say avam. I always run hungry. Spent nearly $100,000 to make sure people got out there and vote and told our story. But besides what we've been able to accomplish, some of the points I mentioned about the strong fiscal situation that we're in, public safety, Paul, will always continue to be my number one priority. And we made some gains there. We've made gains in our school system, economic development, the good four-letter word, and not to you skiers either, snow, jobs, J-O-B-S. I'm going to continue to be a very business-friendly administration. I'm also going to pursue with my new chief development officer, Tim Sheehan, with HUD, the empowerment zones for our neighborhoods to do more improvements in our neighborhoods. I think that is key. I think what's also key is that I'm going to continue to move on green initiatives, which we've been commended. I'm 3 years ahead of schedule as far as bottom line of the budget and also the good of the environment. I want to continue to move on improving our housing market, not only in our neighborhoods, but more market rate housing downtown. More development on the riverfront, I think will be a key. But I also think that we have to continue to market the city of Springfield. We are on, there's momentum now, and we have to harness that momentum moving forward. So those would be some of the things besides what we've been able to accomplish. I'm so proud of what we've been able to do with our libraries. Where other places are shutting their libraries down or downsizing, I've kept them all open. I'm building a new library this week. We opened up in East Forest Park that was looked upon for the last 40 or 50 years. State-of-the-art Raymond A. Jordan Senior Center that was clamored for the last 40, 50 years. Community centers being built. Parks, Paul, which were my Riviera growing up as a kid. Forest Park and Emerson Wright in the South End. $30 million invested, you know, in our parks. We've done this. You know, there's always urban challenges. I'm not trying to paint a panacea. All this good, and we did it in the face of natural disasters, besides a tornado that freaked Nor'easter the same year, and man-made disasters, the gas explosion. Those would be some of the visions I have. And also, it's also the challenge each and every one of us to be better fathers, better mothers, be out there more in our community, reach out to those who are in need. That little thing, I've always said it, any urban mayor in America is going to tell you, to knock down the vicious cycle of poverty and public safety issues, three things are needed. One, family, a familia, which sometimes is difficult to get in involved in. 1A, education, and we made some great strides under Superintendent Warwick. And 1B, jobs, J-O-B-S, put our people to work. So I think it might be more of a human call out there to say, if you can, the number one thing people say, what can I do to help you out or make for a better Springfield? And I'll say to them all the time, are you taking care of your family? Because if you're taking care of your family, that's 90% or more that. And if you have some extra time after you're taking care of your family, then see if you can help out other individuals. Steer them saying there's a better direction to go. You don't need to go down that that path. Today I just had the Central High School major state championship football team in. We were recognizing them, and the second year in a row. It's important to recognize that because this is an age of reality TV, Paul, which I cannot stand. I know the young people love because it highlights the negativity of society, especially our young people. It's important that we recognize these guys who are excelling not only on the field but off the field. So, I'm honored and privileged. I live this job 24/7, and once a mayor, always the heart of a mayor. And I remember Billy Sullivan telling me this. Billy's about 95 now. He's at the Holyoke Soldiers Home, a retired mayor, but well over 40 years ago. He said, it's completely different from when I was mayor. He was mayor in the 70s. He says, I didn't have to deal with the 24/7 media and the internet computers. I didn't have to deal with the gang or really drug situation. And it was the same thing, whether you're a mayor in 1856 or now, because you're going to get beat up. And if you don't have that one word, passion, you put the keys on the desk, and you walk out of the office. That I still have that passion. And if when my tenure is done, whether it's of my doing or the people's doing, and people ask me, what are you going to do coming up? And I, again, you never say never, but I intend to run for re-election in 2023. But if whenever my run is done, if people say, hey, the kid did a hell of a job, bringing the city of Springfield back and moving it forward, that'll mean $1 million to me. And a funny sideline when I say kid, and I'm a little bit older now, Mayor Menino, God rest his soul, and he was here 6 months before he passed too, but the times I would go to Boston, he would always call me the kid. So then Marty Walsh becomes mayor, and I had to go out there for a New England gun anti-violence summit. And he walked in a room, and he sir, and I said, geez, Marty. He goes, I've been around for a little while. I said, Menino used to call me the kid, and Marty now, sir. But I haven't done this alone. I've had a great team, great public and private partnerships. We are very, very philanthropic business community. I don't mind constructive criticism, Paul. I can't stand the naysayers. They bring nothing to the table. But I always say, whether good or bad, the buck stops with me. And little things mean a lot to me. Last thing that leaves me sleepless or bothers me, and I think a lot of urban mayors go through this, you know, I know we're dealing with the opioid crisis, but I mean the it's getting back to family, but the youth violence or gang violence, it is very difficult when you have to go visit a family, whether in a hospital or to their home, or God forbid, the funeral parlor. Because no matter how much power people think I might have, and when the family asks, you know, why can't you, could you have done more? I can't bring that person back. I will continue to hammer away on my bail legislation, on these repeat violent criminal offenders, which is usually the 1 or 2%. I don't understand some of our judges, how they're back on our streets, monitors and bracelets, and they're still committing this hideous crimes. I'll continue to work with Governor Baker. He has a dangerousness bill, and he's put some of my bail legislation in here. Boston TV entities, 25, was just here last week. Very interested on that. I'm all for empowerment. I'm all for second chances if it's not a hideous type crime and you worked and earned it. But some of these, it's difficult when I'm out there. And it, every nook and cranny in the city of Springfield, no matter what creed, color, background, I'm out there, they'll say to me, hey, Mayor Sarno, Dominic Sarno, keep doing what you're doing. We want these people off our streets and out of our neighborhoods. And that's what I'm going to keep harping away on, and I put the legislation together because yelling and screaming wasn't doing any good for years, whether it was me or others before my time. But we need to keep these repeat violent criminal offenders off our streets and out of our neighborhoods. You do that, and I'm also going to continue to fight for wraparound services on this opioid challenge that we have. We need more beds and more rap. We all have family and friends who have gone through it or going through it. When an addict is ready to go, I'm not saying somebody who's committed hideous crimes, it's got to deal with two separate ways, but when an addict is ready to go, you got to get he or she in the bed, the wraparound treatments, and facilitating all the activities they need, and for their family members. And for their family members, because they're going to, you know, not every day is a good day. There's always going to be that crutch. But we have to deal with it. And hideous crimes, they have to be dealt with the criminal justice system, public safety officials. But a huge percentage is drug addiction. That has to be dealt with differently.